All right, well, good afternoon, everybody, to our little Insta webinar to take a look at Form Studio. Just as a reminder, if you go back and look at the Slack channel, the main channel, you might be wondering, well, why am I releasing Form Studio? Why did I go out and find a few different form plugins, fork different things, take some stuff from one form plugin, add it into another, and turn it into this Form Studio? Yes, it is. It has been. Form Studio has been forked from multiple other solutions to take it in a different direction, and I think it's taking into a different direction that answers really four areas. And those four areas are, I really wanted a form plugin that gives me the ability to embed my forms anywhere. So it's not just on the WordPress site that I created the forms. I can also go through and I can remotely add that form to other WordPress sites, to other HTML websites. All of these things are possible with Form Studio. So that was one thing. That's what I wanted out of a form plugin. And most of the other plugins required the form builder or the form plugin that you're using to be on the exact page, website that exists for that form. So the second thing is I really wanted better client-focused reporting features. Yes, you can use certain graphs, certain add-ons for Gravity Forms or Caldera Forms to try and output graphs and knowledge-based things. But I just wanted a simple thing. Most of you here in the WP Studio community, when you're working with clients, you don't have tons of time to create and generate custom report forms. You just want something that maybe you could take a screenshot, maybe you can quickly add something that you can zoom to a certain dashboard and answer a question about a form that you have built for a client. So that's the other thing. The other one is I really wanted an extremely lean plugin, something that you can turn on and off everything with options. But I didn't want to go the route of 48 different plugins that you can install, uninstall, customize. No, I think it's easy enough that you can make one page add-ons or one file add-ons to do whatever you want. And simply during the load process of the plugin, allow yourself to turn them on and off so you can customize how robust a form system you have or how small. And then the final one is better privacy controls. So those are the kind of the basics. Those four are the overarching reasons why Form Studio has come into existence. So what we're looking at here is the Form Studio overview. This is where all of your forms will be, you know, managed, where you can quickly grab a short code to add it to this specific WordPress website. You can also look at additional ways to use it. The top few things are on this specific WordPress site, whether you're using it as a Gutenberg block, short code, PHP in your theme, whether you want to automatically create a pop-up or a pop-over, a modal window that pops up the form that you create. And you can do that either as a URL, you know, in a link or a button, like an A anchor, the Ahref. Instead of putting an actual link, you just put this pound Form Studio X-2. That's going to be because this is the ID number 2 for this form. Or if you understand how to write JavaScript, you can simply put this inside Form Studio pop-up open 2. That's a fully fledged JavaScript function. And you can do it widgets. Plus, you can also, as I said, one of the reasons why I want any place that has a doc type, you know, just right after the HTML. So basically, we're talking about the header section of any web page. If you add this script which is jQuery, making sure jQuery is running. Then this script, which is the Form Studio script that's on this website. So we'd basically be loading a script. And then anywhere you want on that HTML site, that remote website, you can either do a div, an anchor link, or JavaScript, and it will pull that form. So that means now we can manage all our forms on one website, and it just makes everything. And Paul, yes, I'll get to some of the connections here in just a moment. So before we build our form, we'll just jump over to the settings area, because this is where basically you can turn on and off everything. So there's a general tab and there's an extensions tab. So rather than you downloading add-on plugins or additional things, everything is basically an extension you can turn on and off. So we're going to take a look at that first. And we're going to dive down here because there's a bunch of CRMs, marketing, mail systems. So whether you want to use AWeber, Drip, GetResponse, Jetpack subscriptions, MailChimp, MailPoet, SendFox, Sendee, Zapier, or Zoho CRM, you can simply turn them on or off. If you know you're not going to be using any of these, if this switcher is turned off, well, then it's not going to load, and it's not going to cause any type of overhead. Then if we keep going, right now there are three payment providers. Blockchain, so if you want to accept payment using Bitcoin, you could do that, or you can integrate your PayPal or Stripe. So we now can sell a simple product. You can sell different things. If you need an SMS gateway, there's a way to integrate Twilio. Now, I'm moving basically almost, I've always done this with some of the old plugins, but I'm trying to get better at it. I want you to be able to turn on and off every single feature. So take a look at this. If you do not want the field analysis item, and we'll take a look at it, you can actually get rid of it. Right now, there's no payments. Well, what if you are taking payments and you want to be able to track those payments for when people fill that amount, you can enable that payment menu. What if you don't want kind of this, the performance one, which is your stats? You can turn that off. Well, I'm going to turn all of them on so you can see what's going on. Now, here's the other thing. If for whatever reason, the style that you are creating on your theme, maybe you're using a theme that has some really horrible styling for forms, and you just want to make sure that whatever you're doing on your actual form style, we can add important. Just a simple way for you to make sure that this form plugin will overwrite anything else. You don't need that unless something is overwriting your form. And that way, if you can't figure out how to remove the plugin or the theme that's overwriting, you can deal with that. So I'll talk about some of these basic ones when we get, I turn them all on, but we'll take a look at it when we get into the actual form. So let me save this because I did make one or two changes. And so let's go over to the general tab. Now you'll notice the payments now shows up. Over here, because everything about forms is sending emails, boom, this is how we can set this up. Now, I would highly recommend you use an SMTP plugin to make sure all emails go through, but that's up to you. There's, again, advanced logic of whether we load, because Form Studio is heavy JavaScript, which means it also plays nice with the future WordPress. And so therefore, you get to choose which JavaScript enhancements you load. Now, it goes even further than that. I know many people here love using page builders. Well, it's very possible that you're using jQuery Mask. It's a JavaScript jQuery library that can write into form fields or customize or mask certain things. Well, if you want to use it for Form Studio, great, you can enable it for Form Studio. But what if your other theme, or what if your page builder already is loading jQuery Mask? So what we can do is, you know what? Form Studio is not going to load it because it's already being loaded. Same thing, if you are already using Font Awesome, go ahead and do not load it, but enable it. So this way, it's really kind of an advanced way of thinking about it. You can choose to use whatever library you want, and then you have the choice whether or not you want it to load from Form Studio, or if it is already loading from some other solution, some other plugin, some other theme, you can just turn it off. Meaning we're not going to load it from Form Studio. We're just going to use the plugin, that's the file that's already loaded. Basically, what we're trying to do is enable the most compatibility with every single type of theme and plugin. All right. So these are all different things that we have here. I don't want to load the jQuery Mask for now. I'm just turning exhaust, but there's signature pads, range sliders, tool tipsters, all these things that are very helpful for a form, and it's all JavaScript, so we're not loading in PHP heavy functions and stuff like that. All right, so let me save the setting. Now let's go back to our form area. Everything around Form Studio is in a builder environment where we build a form. So let's call this one our example form. So we're going to build a new form. Now, if this is the first time you are loading this plugin onto your WordPress site, you're going to have a mini five-step kind of highlight tour, which talks about all your form settings can be found over here on the left-hand side. All the fields you can use are right here. Anything you put in this big white box, this is kind of our visual editor, will drag and drop whatever you want. So let's get started by simply adding our first field. So our first field, we're just going to go ahead and you can use anything from a text to an email to a number field to a number slider to text area, drop down, checkbox, radio button. This is a multi-select. We've got two different types of image selects. You can upload five different images. People can select those. Tiles, those are just like blocks that people can select, blocks of text, blocks of something. And we'll take a look at all of these. We have a date and we have a time. We have an upload field. We have a password field. Like I said, we also enable that signature JavaScript so people can sign something. There's a range slider. There's the ability to do star ratings, hidden fields, and then buttons. This would be a submit, a next page, some type of navigation tool on your form. And then we can also, again, remember, because this is all about a visual editor for your forms, we have columns. And we have straight HTML, so you can design, just put HTML inside the form for styling or whatever you want. And then there's links. And a lot of this HTML and the links will be used on like confirmation pages. You'll see that in just a moment. So let's start by doing one thing, by adding a text field. Now, by simply clicking on any of these, it adds the field immediately to our builder location. I just looked at the chat, Paul. How do you know if JavaScript is loading somewhere else? Normally, there's an error or an issue or a load time, or for whatever reason we're having issues. Sometimes you'll actually get an error script in the console of a browser that says this is already loaded. Those are different things that you can do. The other thing is just by knowing what other plugins are doing or using. All right. So once they're in this area, you might think, well, that's nice. That's very simple. But this whole area also is drag and drop. So I can select and I can move the items up and down. If I also come in here and say, let's get two columns, we get two columns, and now I can drag my text to field to this one and my email field over here. Let's add one more item, which is a button, and by default it comes to submit. Now you might be thinking, that's great, But what if I want to customize any area of this visual builder? So that's why when you hover over different elements here, you're going to see that red border show up. Well, that red border can highlight everything from the overarching wrapper or an individual element or field inside the area. The reason why it's hovering is because at this point, you can always right-click. Use your mouse, right-click, or if you're using a Mac, you do something like that Apple or Control-Shift or Control-Click to open up the right-click window. This is where we can duplicate that exact field, we can delete it, or we can open up the properties. This is where we have all of our editing. So I have a button. What type of a button is it? Is it a submit button? Is it a back button or next? You'll see why it is back and next, because we can create a multi-page form. So if I just say this is the submit button, great. Maybe I don't want it to say submit. Maybe I want to say send entry. Great. That's gone in. That's taken care of that. We can come over here to the style. Take a look at this. This is a very simple style editor where you can handle your font size, width, positioning, whether or not you want icons. Remember, we were able to enable font icons or whatever icons you want. If you do not have font icons enabled, normally you'll have about one line of dash icons that you can use. So you can actually choose on either side of that button. And then we can take a look at, okay, our colors, background, border, text, add a custom CSS for the default state. This is also makes it super easy for doing hover, when we're hovering over the button, when we're in an active state. Now, so this whole area changes down here for how it looks. Plus, you can also come in here to this custom CSS editor. Remember how CSS, when you write CSS, it's all about selecting the selector. That's that div, that's the ID, class, whatever. But the selector area already has, in English terms rather than code terms, it's saying the wrapper for this submit button, the actual button, the button hover, button active, button icon left, button icon right. We can sit there and say, all right, for the button, what do we want to do? So basically, we're writing our CSS. Now, I can sit there and say color FFCC33. I can do that myself, or I can come down here and hover over any of these, you know, visual editors, and I can say, you know what? I click this border color. It's going to create the actual CSS, and then we put whatever we want. This is one of these just little helpful hints that says, for the button, these are all the available CSS options. You don't have to remember it. You don't have to dive into the inspector of the browser to try and target the specific thing. You can use it right here, and you can target the specific selector for this specific element for this specific form, and you can do it right here. Should make life much easier, and we can create multiple things. So if that's for the button, great. If we come over here, add a style for the wrapper, great. We can come over here and set a font size for it. We can add another one for button hover, background color. And again, you've got to be able to put the background color in there. So you can create all the styles you want. And then we come over here to conditional logic. Currently, I don't think we do have something. Every single element, every single page, which you'll see, and every single submit interaction has this advanced conditional logic where we can show and hide if any of these rules match. Well, what type of rules? Add a rule. If the email address is not, blah, blah, contains, let's do this. It contains, and I got to fix that, the gmail.com. So basically what we can do is we're going to show this button if they enter an email address that simply contains the word Gmail. And that way we can do conditional logic, not just for drop downs or what they've selected in terms of values on this form, but we can do conditional logic based on what they actually enter, what it contains, if there's a certain word, if they're looking for the support, I need help with the website. If there's the word help showing up, we're going to send them to a different location or open up additional fields. So all of those things can be done with this. Now I'm going to save this. Oh, wait, did I save? Hold on, let me come back over here. Okay, if email address contains Gmail. Watch this. I just want to make sure we're saving it. So once I save this form, we now again have the embed options. That's what was on the original one. But we also have a preview. So take a look at this. There is no submit button. So we can do Bob, and we can do bob@gmail.com. Oh, look, gmail.com now showed up, so send entry shows up. So it's because this is all JavaScript, it can watch what's going on with the form and the entry and the interaction for the form. So every single one of these fields has its own property. Some of them are different. Some of them have a lot more. If it's a text field, you have things like autocomplete attributes. This is one of these great little things that, how many of you have been to websites and your computer automatically starts filling out your name and email and address and zip code because your browser has stored some of those things that maybe at one point in the past it has said, do you want to save this? Well, these are autocomplete attributes that tell browsers, if you have this data, go ahead and fill it in. This doesn't show to anybody. This simply just, if somebody has name stored in their browser, it's going to autofill that out. Again, we can go through, look at, set the style. In the data, we can set default values. We can do something that's very similar to how Gravity Forms allows us to dynamically insert values to the fields. Basically, this is when we pass things through a URL, when we have a parameter. So if I said muffin here, and we visited a web, I'm just going to put it up here just so you see. So if we visited the website, let's do this, starterthemes.com, and let's say this is our form page, and we did parameter muffin equals green. So if we did that, if this was the URL that we passed out, so maybe we shared that URL on a social network. If our parameter name for muffin, when somebody shows up on this form, because we hit the dynamic value, this field will automatically be filled in with green. The cool thing about this is, what if we just simply say social equals Twitter, and so anything we share that sends people to our form, we can do read-only, so that when they show up in the form, this field is already input with Twitter, because that's where they came from, but they can't change it. So there's some really cool things, and again, we'll get into a lot more of this, and the documentation will show this. Plus, again, every field, every area has conditional logic. And then in the advanced area, we'll spend a bit of time with this. You can do all your validations, and you can do all your filters without having to write code. That's my big thing. You can do with Caldera Forms and Gravity Forms. You can do your own validations and filters, but you have to write it in code. Now, you don't, because I can simply say, we want to validate it's an actual email, and then here's the error message if it's not the email. We can also say, we're going to validate that this is an alphanumeric, so you only can use letters and numbers, no symbols, but we will allow you to have white spaces. Or what if I want to say, your value has to be at least 25, if it's not, we're going to do you know, please re-enter, or you are not old enough to fill out this form. All these are stuff that you can do without writing a single line of code. So I hope that type of thing really resonates when you're building your forms. Okay, so quick reminder. When you are adding fields, simply right-click on anything and you get properties. Every single one of these, just the same as Gravity Forms or Caldera Forms, if you add a field that requires unique properties, like if you look at the data, you're going to have for an upload field allowed extensions. Well, here's the error message if that is the wrong extension. What's the maximum size? How many uploads do we allow? So there's a lot of different things that we can handle for individual items. Then if you want to get rid of one of those fields, go ahead and get rid of the field by deleting it. Okay, so this is our page panel. So basically we have our fields panel and our page panel. If you are only using a single page or single form, you don't need to add a page. You can come in here and edit, and basically this gives you the title of the page. But what if, and the confirmation is now a visual area where you can add columns, HTML, like you can write information, you can include a link to go somewhere else so that when somebody submits the form, we're going to take them to the confirmation page. Now you can change the name of the confirmation. Thanks for submitting the form. And that's the name. That's actually what it will show up on in kind of the URL. But we can go in here and we can begin editing this. This, again, this is just an HTML content. Notice how you get both visual and text editors so you can do this. Plus, the same way that taken exactly from Gravity Forms, all fields that were used in the form, our text and our email address, can be auto-inserted using these little smart tags. But I can also do everything from the ID of the submission, the IP address of the person who submitted, user agent, date, time, because this is the timestamp, whether if they are actually a user that's logged in, we can associate that to the user, the current URL where they're coming from, as well as the current page title where they're coming from. That's all the data that is stored from each one of these forms. So we can actually create multiple pages. So you can have a multi-page form, and we'll deal with that at another time. So that's the basics of building your form, building the thank you page. And now we come over here to the power behind all of this, the form settings. The form setting are the overarching settings for this specific form. Everything from the title, whether it's active, again, we can also deactivate the form so it can't be, nothing can be submitted to it, but we won't lose anything. We don't have to delete it or anything. We can still keep it. So we're going to provide this as active. Now, the primary and the secondary field is my way of customizing the overall form where you list all your forms. You can select what you're going to put in the primary and secondary field. Let me just save this and jump back over here so you can see. If we go to the all forms, and we are looking at, let's go to this test form. So, I meant to do submission logs. See how there's a primary and a secondary? So if I go to test form, I'm able to put whichever form fields I want to be as the primary and secondary fields. So you can get a quick overview just of all your submission logs, just a quick, easy way without having to rebuild an entire layout area. All right, so let's go back to our form and go back to our form settings. So that's what those primary and secondary are. This is how you can set the format of your date, time, the timestamp stuff. Now, two things here. Cross-domain calls. If you open this, that's because you're going to use this form on other websites, not just the website the plugin is installed on. This enables the script to be pulled over, the form to be pulled over, and maybe your client has three or four other HTML websites. And those HTML websites, you can embed this form on another site, even on some social network sites, even on like Facebook page. You could actually pull all that and bring it over and use it in different locations. Cross-domain just allows us to accept input from other locations. Be wary of this. I've tried to do all sorts of things to protect, and we'll take a look at some advanced things you could do to lock down your site if you are doing this. But this enables you to post a form on other web pages. And then we have enable sessions. This is a simple way of, if you have a really long form, and it may take people a while to fill it out. Well, if you enable session for 48 hours, if they fill out half the form, fall asleep, come back the next day, their form will still be filled out up to the point where they fell asleep. Because it's a session. There's a cookie that has now kept the data on their computer in the proper thing. So people can then continue. They don't lose any of the work that they have been doing. All right, we also have massive amounts of style because this is the style for the entire form. This is the style that is not just individual fields. So we can say, how do we want to deal with it? What are all the labels going to be doing in terms of position, text, whatever? The input fields, the buttons, error messages. Are you using a progress bar? Because maybe you have multiple pages, so you can choose different types of progress bars. Then we can also say, well, if it's inline, meaning embedded into a regular web page, this is what it looks like. But what about if we're using the pop-up mode to enable a WordPress plugin, or sorry, a form to pop up because we have an anchor tag link like that? So we can customize what the pop-up looks like. But it gets even cooler. There are tons and tons of pre-styled things. So let's go ahead and say we're going to assign this theme, the Marianas Trench theme, to our form. We're going to save those details. Notice how you get a visual representation. We have already got a customized theme, and immediately we can go through and play around with different styles just on choosing a theme. Now, the cool thing about this is our theme manager, you can import themes. Well, you can also save the current theme as something else, give it a name. You can save the theme, which means now you can export that theme to some other thing. Some of you may like to design different layouts for forms, and then you can share them. There'll be ways that you can share, and people can upload the pre-design. Mainly, somebody has gone through and selected everything as well as added their own CSS to really make these themes pop or the forms pop. All right, confirmation. This is something that's unique, but I think it will help especially our European friends and anybody else dealing with privacy issues. If we are collecting an email address, how many of you get frustrated when your client or your site, people are putting in fake email addresses? Well, we can actually get a confirmation. And the confirmation is, what are we doing for, sorry, when I'm talking about the email address, I jumped ahead to double opt-in. Confirmation is basically when somebody successfully submits a form, what are we going to do? So you have the option of displaying that confirmation page. That's that page that you can build in the form builder, that extra page, the thank you page. You can choose to display that page. You can display that confirmation page and then redirect to a certain URL after a certain number of seconds. So you can say, thank you for this. And then 5 seconds later, we can send them to another web page. But what if we want to include a parameter because maybe we're starting to really use parameters in the URL. We could even say, remember how we had that muffin equals whatever, where we could say text. So we can actually add in these parameters from the form so that we can be passing all sorts of things back and forth. Kind of a cool thing. We can request confirmation, and then, again, I don't have the payment gateway set up just yet. We will. But we can confirm and then send them to the payment. But what about if we just want to send them to the payment gateway? Sure, we can do that. We can display a message rather than using a confirmation page. We can simply have a message show up because maybe we're using a pop-up modal window. So you can choose that. So you have that flexibility of providing confirmations. Now remember, each one of these has a conditional logic rule. So what if you have somebody who's paying with PayPal? We can have a confirmation, enable this confirmation if the rule of that they chose, let's just say the rule was if this field had the word PayPal in it, we would send them to request payment from the payment gateway PayPal when we set it up. But what if they choose to use something else? I want to pay with Bitcoin. So we can create a second confirmation, add the conditional logic that if they chose to choose pay with Bitcoin, then we're going to send them to someplace else. So these are one of these cool little things that you can do, having conditional logic on what to do based on a successful form submission. Now, we're almost there. Double opt-in. This is so we can make sure that if somebody is filling out the form and they put their email address, we want to make sure that they confirm before we actually accept the full submission. So if they do not receive, and basically we can do is say if they fill the form, we enable double opt-in, on our confirmation page, we'll probably do something like, please, in order to continue or in order to finalize the purchase, you need to confirm your email with us in order for us to accept the valid purchase. So this email will go to them, they click on the URL, boom. We can then say the success message, thank you, it's confirmed, or we can send them to the actual URL of, thank you for confirming, here are your downloads, blah, blah, blah. So it's one way that we can make sure that nobody is going to give us a bad email, or even if they just accidentally put in the wrong email, this is an early catch. Because if we've told them you need to confirm, and they don't get the email, they're going to contact us and say, why didn't I get that? And we can dig in and figure out and say, oh, that's because you wrote your email wrong or something like that. So double opt-in is an option that you can enable. I really don't think any other form plugin does that. Notifications. This is everything from sending a response email to the individual who entered the form. It could be sending it to your admin. It could be sending it to your sales director. You can do whatever you want after a successful form submission, after a successful double opt-in, after a completed payment, after a non-completed payment. And then in there, we can send them to whether or not we're going to attach the email address of the person who filled out the form. And then we're going to say, thank you for submitting your form, blah, blah, blah. And then we probably wouldn't put all the form details in there because form data is just everything. But it allows us to do things. Plus, here's the really cool thing about notifications. Through this, we can actually set an attachment. So what if we're simply collecting the email address for somebody to get a free ebook? We can do it right here. So a file on a server, great, put the URL. And it sends it as an attachment to the people on a successful completion of the form submission. And we can create multiple notifications. Another notification would go to the admin. Here's a person who has submitted. So very cool things. All right, let's talk about the integration of the add-ons. So if you use Sendy as your item, we can go as your newsletter, we can go through here and enable this that after a successful form completion, again, we would go put this Sendy installation URL. This is all in Sendy. And then which field is the email, which field is the name, auto fills that in. And then if we have additional custom fields, we can add those. Sendy allows you to do that. And there's a whole bunch of things we can do. I'm going to come back and show you this HTML form because this is a really cool thing. But let's go to the advanced, because the advanced is where, guess what? We can put payment gateway. Oh, I need to, did we not do that? I thought we added. So we got to go to same settings. Let's go to the extensions. Oh, I didn't save any. We'll enable those payment gateways, save the settings. Let's go back to our form. Our example form, go to the form settings, advanced. In our payment gateways, we can choose, okay, we're going to connect up PayPal. This is how it works with Form Studio. You're not creating form fields of products. You can, but you don't have to do that. You can simply say if they filled out their form, and maybe in our HTML or there's an image that says what the cost is, we can simply set the item here, the amount, $99.95, payment successful URL once they go through. Basically, we're going to pass this off to PayPal. PayPal, based on if they successfully paid, it sends them back to the website. If they cancel, it sends them back to whatever the URL you want. So we can do that. And we can come in here and do Stripe. Well, what if we do Stripe? We can process the whole thing. We have to, you know, put up the secret keys, signing keys, all the other stuff. It's all based on web hooks. So we can actually process payments based on successful completion of our URLs. So once we set up, notice how we set up payment gateways. And notice how there's no conditional logic here. That's because back here, let me make sure I save. We'll just save those details for now, and then we'll open it up just to make sure it's working. In the confirmations, basically this is when we decide to say on a successful completion, we're going to request a payment with PayPal. See how that works? And our conditional logic is, if the text has the word PayPal in it, great. Add a confirmation, request payment for Stripe for this field, conditional logic, add a rule if the text contains Stripe or whatever. We can save those details that based on the successful entry or submission, we're able to process payments. Now, the other thing is there's some advanced stuff. Well, what if we have 8 different checkboxes? And what if we need to see these expressions? Maybe we would be adding plus... These are these different fields that we would be adding the price that based on what they choose. And then we can, your expression, your gets a final expression. That can be used in the payment gateway. So you can actually add multiple products together. There's different ways of doing that. Our miscellaneous. This is where the privacy comes in. For this form, we can turn off the ability to save IP addresses, user agents, technical info, and log records. We can turn all that off. And we would abide by privacy regulations in many countries. Now, final thing is, this may be beyond some of you, but I'm going to give this illustration. I think most of us understand, at least in some manner, WordPress PHP hooks, where we have these hooks and themes that are like before something, after something. In Gravity Forms, there are hooks and functions that fire off before a form is submitted, after a form is submitted, blah, blah, blah. Well, because Form Studio is basically all in JavaScript, we have before the JavaScript submits, you can add additional JavaScript to modify what's going on in that form submission. After a successful form, what if not if you want to do some additional JavaScript to manage what's happening with all that data that's being submitted? You can do that in code. There are custom JavaScript handlers, basically they're hooks that occur in a real-time form system. So all of these things, oh, this is what I wanted to show you. I want to show you the HTML form. So I should have done this before. Let me, twiddle your thumbs while I simply go grab, I'm going to show you on a view all lists of a, okay. Oops, no, 1 second. Okay, now you should be, can you guys still see the form settings screen? I think that's what you're looking at. Okay, so in this integration, let's say you've created this really awesome form, but you want to be able to take the data that's in your form and add it to some like remote or a custom CRM or a custom system that a client owns. And that system gives you its own outputted HTML form. Watch what happens with this. This is one of the cooler things. If I choose my integration of a form, after a successful form submission of a Form Studio form, I'm going to paste in the form. See, this is the form for Sendy, just because it's a simple form. Notice how it's got the label, the inputs, different inputs, even hidden input here. So just paste whatever form you have. Maybe you already have an old form that you have been using for whatever or your client does. I can, once I paste the form, connect the form, and what it does is it figures out what the URL is, what the method is, what the fields are. I can then start filling out the fields, connecting them, and if there's something that's already set in, we can handle this, and then all of a sudden, and I can even choose to do it on a client side. We can actually do the whole submission on the client side, or we can do the whole submission on our server side. So basically, they fill out our Form Studio form. We get all the information, everything that we were doing in the confirmations, notifications, double opt-in. But our third-party system, which we also want to put them into like our CRM or something like that, I can pick and choose which fields they've already filled out for me and auto-submit them based on the form. So now we have multiple avenues. Like we could create one form and submit it 28 different locations. So what if you have a client that has a dance class and they have a calendar system, they have a billing system, they have a booking system. Each one of them requires a user account setup. And the user account setup is basically just filling out this form to set up your account. We could do that by creating four different or three different HTML forms, connect up the different fields so that their billing, their booking, their calendar all gets connected. They get the confirmations from each of those locations, but they've only now had to fill out one form. All right. So that's really one of the things that sets aside Form Studio. And then our final little things just over here are performance. Performance is statistics. When I said I wanted to have something that is a really nice graph that is easy for a client to understand, we have the ability to track impressions, submissions, confirmations, like they've confirmed something, and if we're doing that, and payments. Notice how if I don't want one of these, I can get rid of confirmed or payments. So it's not going to track that. I can do it per form. I can set a start date time. Then here's the other thing. So that's just actual usage of a form. Field analysis. Some of your form fields, like we did yesterday, have like multiple option choices. So maybe a client puts something out, like they put a form out, they have their entire office staff say, you know, what is the best day for us to have our holiday party? And you have like 8 choices. Well, rather, and you have 100 people logging in. So rather than go through each one of them and tabulate, we have analysis, and it will only analyze fields that exist on your forms that have multiple options, and it will create a graph for you. So you can choose that. You can even say from this period to this period or total. And you can provide a quick little graph. The client says, hey, can you give me an update on what we're looking at for that form that people are filling out? You don't have to go count. You don't have to do anything. It's a field analysis. It analyzes and gives you a real-time update of any field that you put that has options. It's not going to analyze the name field because that's not an option field or selection field. And then payments, if you do process payments, this will just track the payment amount when it happens, status of the payment, whether it's completed or not. So this is Form Studio. Hopefully, a system that, yes, there's some very advanced things in there, but it should also be fairly easy to get started playing around with Form Studio. So you can grab a copy of Form Studio right now on the Slack channel. It will be uploaded when the new website launches. And I hope you have fun playing with it over the weekend. Oh, final other thing. Over here on the main page, the overview, you do have the ability to export all records right here. You don't have to go to another place. You can also reset statistics, the performance stuff. Maybe every month you have a certain form and you reset statistics every month. You don't have to reset because remember in that performance thing, you can actually have a range of dates. But all of that is possible. So thanks for joining me for this quick Insta webinar. I hope you have a great rest of the Friday, and I'll see you on Slack.